The Future of Maine's Rural Economies, live from Holton. More than a half million people in Maine live in what the U.S. Census Bureau considers a rural area. Maine's rural communities face different challenges and opportunities than urban areas. Housing may cost less, but unemployment is higher. There's space and bountiful natural resources, but a lack of access to many services and often no high-speed internet. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we wrap up our four-day trip to Aroostook County by broadcasting live from Holton High School and discussing economic development for rural Maine. A lot of dedicated people are working to revitalize Maine's rural communities, aiming to keep more young people around and ensure opportunity for them to build meaningful and prosperous lives. What do you think needs to be done? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Holton High School Auditorium, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Developing a robust and resilient economy with good jobs and strong communities is important for all of Maine. But rural areas face some challenges different from the urban areas in Maine. Today, we're going to discuss some of the formulas for success in rural Maine with three guests to share their take on what works and what doesn't work. Kristen Wells is former executive director of the Aroostook Aspirations Initiative. Chris Anderson, president of the FAP Body Company and also president of the Aroostook Partnership. And Brett Richardson is associate director of the Sustainable Food and Agriculture Programs with Coastal Enterprises Incorporated. As always, we want to hear from you. What are the areas of opportunity that you see for economic development here in Holton and in other places that are considered rural Maine? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. You can also watch our program today on Facebook Live by visiting our Facebook page. Welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for being here in Holton with us today. And Kristen, why don't I start with you? How is the economy in Aroostook County? It seems to me in the past 3.5 days that we've been here, it kind of depends who you ask. There doesn't seem to be the same opinion from two people.
That's true. I would say the economy is challenging in Aroostook County, and the perspective from a variety of different sources or different people will be different. So I think, you know, in every community, there's a lot of challenges that we have. We have a population decline that's been happening for years and years. So how to address that decline, how to navigate with business, with education, with all parts that make up our economy here is a challenging situation. However, we also see so many positives that are going on right now. So depending on who you ask, you may hear the challenges and the struggles that we've been dealing with for many years now, or you may hear some of the more opportunity and positive, maybe positives that exist.
Sure, the unemployment rate in this part of Maine, not just Aroostook County, but the neighboring counties, is in the 4% range, correct? Which is higher than in Cumberland County, where it's 2%, but it's still historically not what people would consider high unemployment.
Right, right. And we also, I think maybe the even bigger conversation is, what are people doing? So if you are unemployed, are you also pursuing education or other training opportunities? Are you able to access new opportunity despite an unemployed position? So I think we need to be asking a little bit more, a little deeper questions about what people are doing, what the opportunities are that exist here. We know we have job opportunities that are open. We also have such high retirement trends that are coming currently and also coming in the next 5 to 10 years. We have a pretty good idea of what that's going to look like and what the impact will be on Aroostook County. So we're in an interesting time where we need every able body to be working and to be trained and to be prepared for filling some of those openings that we're seeing already.
Chris, we've touched on this a little bit already, but what are some of the specific challenges for economic development in rural areas compared to in the urban areas of Portland, Lewiston, and Bangor, which are really the only urban areas, right, according to the U.S. Census in Maine?
Well, touching on what Kristen said, out-migration is probably the number one thing that we need to address in reverse. But specifically, we're far away from the markets of the, you know, the greater Boston area and Portland areas. So those are challenges that we have further north. But everything from a location and proximity standpoint is really a matter of perspective because, you know, we're close to New Brunswick. We're as close to Boston as we are to Quebec. So when you kind of take one hat off and put on another, proximity is really just a matter of where you see your opportunities. So proximity is a challenge for us, but we're hoping that can be overcome. The other thing that does present a challenge is our youth and making sure our youth stay here and think about Aroostook County as a place to live, work, and play. I know that Kristen's been involved in a number of initiatives to do that, and some of the organizations I've been involved in, we've taken great initiative and stride to try and encourage companies to do internships, to prove to our youth that they don't have to leave to find employment and a future.
Let me ask you this, though. Not necessarily our youth, but what about youth in other parts of the country that might love to live in this beautiful natural environment? How do we recruit young people to come here?
Big topics. Not easy. One thing that will help is access to technology, things that turn the youth on, which is, having good broadband, access to all those things that they like to see and do. If you don't have those things that they expect, they're going to think less of the community. And those are challenges really across America on the digital divide.
Okay, Brett, tell us about some of the innovative programs underway in this area.
Rural Maine is full of innovative and hardworking people, and there's a lot of great organizations working on economic development to make sure that the innovators and entrepreneurs have the resources that they need. And CEI is one example of that. We're a mission-driven investor, and we help to grow good jobs, environmentally sustainable businesses, and shared prosperity. And to do that, we are a one-stop shop where entrepreneurs can come and get support in terms of business planning to take the great ideas that they have and make them viable. They can get the capital and financing they need to grow and start their businesses, as well as other technical assistance around workforce solutions. You just mentioned a tight labor market and low unemployment, and having skilled workers is a tough challenge, and there's organizations that are working on that front. So there's a lot of great opportunities in rural Maine, natural resources. I have the privilege to work in, as you mentioned, in CEI's food systems program, and that's a exploding opportunity for rural economies. And CEI, with partners, has invested about $15 million over the last few years into Maine's food economy, from growers and farmers to producers and distributors. And there's a lot of folks working on that, and we see that as a real opportunity to grow the rural Maine economy.
On the line with us now is Chris Duty. She is CEO of Cary Medical Center. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, Jennifer. Thank you for the opportunity.
I know that health care, and particularly access to health care, is a major challenge in many rural areas, not just here in Maine, but throughout the U.S., and I'm guessing throughout the world. How difficult is it to attract and retain physicians and other highly skilled employees to your medical center?
I think it's a challenge for most hospitals, not only rural hospitals, but even urban hospitals. But we've been fortunate over the last number of years recruiting some young people to the county. And actually, we've also recruited some people who are originally from Caribou, graduated from Caribou High School, have gone on to medical school and residency, and they're coming back to Caribou. So we're returning young people back to our community of Aroostook County, which is exciting. In fact, we just recruited an ER physician who's originally from Germany, practicing in Georgia, and she was looking for a rural area. She was looking for snow, if you can imagine, and she wanted to have a beautiful home with land. Her husband is a snowmobiler and a hunter. So I think we have a lot of wonderful attributes that we can encourage physicians to come here, and a lot of them come here and stay.
Chris, I imagine that you could guarantee her snow, right?
Snow. That's right, exactly.
Let me ask you a more serious question, though. How does the physical health of rural residents contribute to the economic health of a region?
Yeah, it's tough. We have, obviously, we're the oldest state in the nation and one of the oldest counties in our state, unfortunately. So it's a challenge. It's these folks require some health care that can be costly and consuming. And we have a lot of stoic people in Aroostook County that sometimes by the time they do receive care, they're quite ill. And it can be a real tough time for them and really difficult for some of the support that they need.
And finally, how important is your hospital to this region?
Our hospital, as well as all the other hospitals in Maine, are extremely important to the community. Most of us are the largest employer. We are the largest employer in Caribou, so we're obviously an economic boost for this community. We have high wages. We not only bring, when you think about hospitals, community thinks about doctors and nurses, but we also hire in information technology, physical therapy, occupational therapy, accounting, medical coding, human resources. So we're very important and vital to a community.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for calling in today. Chris Duty, the CEO of Cary Medical Center.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thanks for your time.
Kristen, before we talked to Chris Duty, we were talking about the out-migration of young people. You were one of those young people who grew up in Aroostook County,
and
came back, and now have children here. So this not only is your professional interest, but very personal to you. What do you think it's going to take?
I think it's going to take a lot of good, positive messaging about what Aroostook County has to offer. And honestly, I think even coming from here, it was challenging for me to see what our assets are in this region. And being a young person who grew up here, I was really looking for something very different from where I grew up. But in that, I know over the 15 years I was away, I really lost sight of what values and what is valuable about being in a rural community and being in Aroostook County. We have a very different environment and culture and opportunity here than anywhere else. And I think that's worth really promoting to young people. And, if they are like me and have places to go and things to do that are far away, that's great. But just think about coming back and what you can contribute and what you can do here. And I think that might be the most exciting thing. There is so much opportunity that has not yet been designed. And I think that's maybe the most exciting thing. You can be incredibly innovative and you have a huge support network among the community. And that's a really nice attribute that we have in Aroostook County that's much more challenging to build or to develop somewhere else.
Chris, when I introduced you, I said that you're president of the Aroostook Partnership. What is that and what are you hoping to do?
The Aroostook Partnership is a organization that was created some time ago that brought the private sector and the public sector together under one umbrella, if you will, kind of looking after the and speaking with one voice about economic issues for the county. And that's kind of the key we see in that organization, as well as the one that's more local to Central Southern Aroostook, which is Southern Aroostook Development Corporation, is bringing the private sector into the equation with the public sector, gets the private sector more engaged, because the private sector ultimately is the engine that will drive economic development and economic prosperity. And ultimately, jobs are what we really need. We need to have jobs for young people or old people to come back to. And, that's really the crux of the issue. How do we reverse the trends, take mature industries that we've relied on for over 100 years and add value to those industries so they're still viable, but also create a different, diversified dynamic when it comes to the economics of the
region. Isn't that the catch-22, though? Because businesses want to build their business in a place where there are plenty of people they could hire, where there's a diverse and robust and young workforce, and you're trying to have the companies believe in Aroostook County and the young people believe in Aroostook County at the same time.
Yes, those are challenges. However, the labor force could be one. So it's like, do you build it and they come, or do you put something there because there's already labor force? We know we have needs for labor. Just we've done an economic study on just the attrition rates of the existing businesses are going to need really more people than we have students graduating. So we know we really have to make our communities attractive to our youth. What do you do? What's the strategy to do that? Well, that's what we talk about. In communities like Holton, focusing on your downtown, what you have for assets, making that attractive will hopefully bring folks and young people here. It is a trick. It's a real trick.
Brett, you're here because you work in natural resources. Yesterday's main calling was about potatoes, the day before forestry. Potatoes, the largest crop, the most valuable crop in the entire state of Maine. Forestry, the largest industry in Maine still, is a natural resource-based economy. Not only the present reality, the engine of this part of Maine, but will it continue to be in the future?
I think the answer to that is yes, with hard work and creative collaboration. The show yesterday about the potato industry was really encouraging. And I think one of the key points that were made were the opportunity around the rotation crops and the expanded yields through better soil management, and also the opportunities around the rotation crops with grain to feed the exploding craft brew industry, as well as the human consumption and bread baking industry. And as Chris just mentioned, diversification. As the natural resource sectors can diversify their revenue streams and capture premium prices with the Maine brand and the high quality that we produce here, it can be a key anchor of the future Maine economy.
And grain is one of the faster growing sectors of the agriculture economy, correct?
It is. It's growing. It's a great fit with the potato rotation crops. And more folks are working hard to squeeze as much value out of that and to produce as quality, the highest quality they can. And it's catching on, and more of the craft breweries are sourcing locally. And there's more bread being produced with Aroostook County grain. And that creates jobs not only in Aroostook County, but as businesses expand in southern Maine, they can source from Aroostook County and make sure that those premium prices come back to the county and higher prices for the farmers.
All right. Well, this is such an interesting conversation. We're here at Holton High School, Maine Calling, talking about rural Maine economic development. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. MMG Insurance in Presque Isle, protecting your peace of the world. Proud to support Maine Calling live from the county, mmgins.com. And the Maine Community Foundation, pleased to support Maine Calling, a forum for addressing issues affecting Maine people and the world.
Eric Garner's death is a familiar story. An unarmed black man is killed by police. No one is charged. Journalist Matt Taibbi wanted to understand why.
Not just how these incidents happen in a few terrible seconds, but how they happen over the course of years and decades and repeat over and over and over again.
His book, I Can't Breathe, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, weekday evenings from 4 to 6:30 on Maine Public Radio. Are you a fan of Maine Public Radio and television and understand why listener and viewer support is so important to make it all possible? And would you like to lend your hand in making sure that when Maine Public reminds listeners and viewers to support the organization, that those appeals are successful? Well, Maine Public would like to talk to you. We're looking for an organized, creative, detail-oriented multitasker to become our full-time producer of on-air and online fundraising campaigns, part of our development team in Bangor. We've got a complete job description at mainepublic.org. Just click on About and then Careers. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are broadcasting today from the Holton High School Auditorium. Today on the program, Rural Economic Development. My three guests with me here at the high school are Brett Richardson, the Associate Director of the Sustainable Food and Agriculture Programs with CEI. Kristen Wells is the former Executive Director of the Aroostook Aspirations Initiative. Chris Anderson is President of the FA Peabody Company and is President of a rustic partnership. We invite you to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And we welcome anyone here in the audience to come ask a question as well. But before we go to the calls, I want to ask just a couple more questions of my guests. Kristen, how important is education in changing the educational the level of education attainment to the future of this and other rural parts of Maine?
We know it is essential. We need to be able to raise the bar in education at all ages. We know there's more push at the state level too for early childhood education all the way up through even adult learners. And to think about education as a lifelong process and not or a lifelong opportunity and not just a early development. The importance in Aroostook County especially lies on the amount of change that we've seen in jobs, and the need is different than it used to be. So education is essential in order to keep up with the workforce needs that we have, with employment needs, with the new industry needs. So we have an even greater push on adult and non-traditional learners.
And, you know, I'm looking at, I read some statistics this morning that Aroostook County, 16.5% of the population has a bachelor's degree, 85% a high school graduate. It used to be a high school degree was enough, as we all know. The announcement last week, UMaine Presque Isle, UMaine Fort Kent, UMaine Machias, UMaine Augusta, offering free tuition to qualified students. How much of a difference will something like that make?
We're hoping it makes a great difference. The students will take advantage of that, and to not see the financial burden of a college education as being a barrier to finishing a degree, to starting a degree in that case. We really hope to be able to break down any kind of resistance that there might be to achieving a degree and even more advanced education opportunities.
Well, we've talked about some of the innovative and sort of new ways of thinking. Chris, what are you guys doing here in Aroostook County that people are paying attention to? What do you think really has potential to be different?
Well, one thing that that I think may make Aroostook slightly different is the groups coming together. I like to think of it as we've got a healthy economic development infrastructure. Not only did Southern Aroostook Development form under a premise of bringing the private sector engaged in a process with the public sector, but Aroostook Partnership took that on a countywide basis and is looking at, you know, large issues, working with the public sector and bringing engagement from the private sector. And what we hear on a statewide basis is that the way we're structured is we're helping break down those silos between entities all trying to work, like overlapping their workings toward a goal, and working together maybe in a little better fashion, hopefully to achieve the goals of changing the economy's direction.
On the line with us now, Senator Angus King. Senator King, thanks for calling into the show today.
Hey, Jennifer, nice to be with you. How are things in Aroostook County?
It's beautiful. You're missing out.
Oh, I know. Where are you today? You're in Holton, is that right?
We're in Holton, yes. We've been in Presque Isle and in Fort Kent, and the leaves are beautiful, and the food is good, and the people are fantastic. You know, I'm going to do something I don't usually do. Instead of asking my own question of you first, I'm going to ask a question that's asked by Gary on Facebook, because he references you. Gary writes, Angus King says rural Maine needs silver buckshot, not a silver bullet. I agree. With our close proximity to population centers, while having a feeling of remoteness, we could really capitalize on the increased popularity of outdoor activities, kayaking, hiking, glamping, etc. Increased access to outdoor activities could be an important part of the revitalized economy for rural Maine. So I guess there's two questions there. First is that really what you say? We need silver buckshot?
Yeah, I'll put that in context. The context is, and Gary must have heard me say this somewhere, rarely in my experience when you have a complicated problem is there a silver bullet. Instead, there's silver buckshot. That is, a lot of small solutions that add up to solving the problem. And that's one of my favorite sayings. I picked that up from Laurie LaChance, the president of Thomas College, who's one of the best people in Maine, in my view. But yeah, he's right. And just thinking about the problems of revitalizing the economy, particularly the forest-based and agricultural economy in northern and eastern Maine, there's no single solution. But Gary's right. Recreation is part of it. That's the reason that I finally came around after some initial skepticism to supporting the monument up near Millinocket, because I determined, A, there was no downside in terms of the forest products industry, and B, recreation and recreational tourism is one of the fastest growing businesses in the world, and this could be part of, not the entire, but part of a solution to strengthening the economy in that region. Same thing, I was at Greenville last weekend up at Mount Kineo and Gulf Haggis, and we just have these wonderful assets. And so recreation and people coming from southern Maine and from all over the country and all over the world, again, not the whole answer, but definitely a part of it.
How much of the answer comes from government, and what can you do in Washington?
Well, you know, government doesn't create jobs, but it can create an atmosphere whereby jobs can grow. And there are a couple of things. Susan Collins and I and Joe Donnelly, Democratic senator from Indiana, and Joni Ernst, Republican senator from Iowa, just put a bill in a couple of weeks ago called the CREATE Act. That's CREATE with two A's in the middle, and I can't remember all the things it stands for. But in any event, the purpose of the bill is to increase funding for agricultural and food promotion programs in the Department of Agriculture. These programs in the past have returned $28 for every dollar invested. And we want to promote blueberries, potatoes, lobsters, that's the kind of thing that I think we can help with, particularly for exports. The whole idea is to stimulate exports. You know, I have a number for you, Jennifer. The number is 5%. Now, can you guess what 5% is? 5%.
It's 5% of
5%. That's the proportion of the world's population that lives in North America. That means 95% of the markets are someplace else, and we've got to start tapping into those markets. So that's the kind of thing we can do. We've also been working very closely with the federal government and forest products industry to try to revitalize that industry. We can also help on broadband. I just talked to Shelley Capito of West Virginia just yesterday, as a matter of fact, about some ideas to increase access to broadband in rural areas, which is, frankly, one of our biggest drawbacks right now.
I'm here with three guests. One of them is Chris Anderson, president of Aristic Partnership. Chris has a question for you.
Hi, Senator. Sure. King. How are you?
Yeah.
Question for you on the broadband initiatives that you've been leading, and I don't know if you're familiar with the CAF funding, the community,
yeah, sure.
The Community Connect America Fund. That, as I understand, is only eligible for the ILECs, the big providers across the state or across the country, and not funding for more creative regional players in broadband and telecommunications. And I don't know if there's any efforts underway to try to broaden the scope of who's eligible for some of that funding. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, and I think it's something we really ought to be doing. Now, a lot of this is in the jurisdiction of the Federal Communications Commission.
Right.
But my view on broadband is we've got to try everything. There's no single solution. Again, I'm back to the silver buckshot. There's no one thing. The technology is different for different regions depending on the topography. Some places you can have wireless, but other places it's got to be line of sight and it won't work in the mountains. But we've just got to work on changing that structure. I think will help. One of the things that we're talking about down here now, and this is not a fully baked proposal, but under the E-Rate program, which was put in place back in the 90s, and the lead sponsor was Olympia Snow of Maine and Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, that's a program that funds technology connections to schools. And so virtually every school in Maine has a fiber optic connection. I don't know the exact number, but it's a pretty high number. So that means we've got fiber going into all of these towns But under the current rules, nobody else can use that fiber. And what I was talking to Senator Capito about yesterday and a couple of other rural senators is, why can't we figure out how to open that up? If you've got the pipe coming into town, let's see if we can open that up for the other residents of the town under some kind of fair commercial basis. But that's the kind of thing that we need to be talking about. And I've got a guy, Adam Lackman, who many of you may know. He's pretty much full-time on this. It's one of my highest priorities because you can't succeed as a business if you can't get broadband. And many people, particularly young people, don't want to live in a community where they can't get broadband. So we've got to get on this in a hurry.
Sure. Currently, right now, I saw a study that put Maine at 49th. That's not really where we want to be on this issue.
No,
Senator King, thank you.
And 15 years ago, we were near the top, so we've got some catching up to do.
Well, Senator King, thanks so much for calling in today to the special Maine Calling in Aroostook County.
Enjoy your time up there, Jennifer. It's one of the great parts of Maine.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We're going to move on to Doug, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Doug. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for this show. Rural economic development is very close to my heart with all my relatives from St. John Valley and having grown up in rural southern Maine. So thank you for the panelists and their perspectives. I do have a question, starting off with a comment around this whole concept of Maine trying to attract younger people to our communities for economic and social development. And it strikes me that no one or very few people are talking about the idea of attracting boomers and working with boomers who already live here, who want to continue to work and provide a contribution back to their communities, maybe part-time, project-oriented. But we, as you said, we are the oldest state in the nation, and my sense is it's time to start thinking of our older population. Being a boomer myself at 66, that we have a lot to contribute, both economically, community-wise, and so I think that I would love to hear from your panelists about how can we as a state work with our boomer population to engage them, and realizing it's going to require a paradigm shift among employers to think differently, because we are in a workforce development.
Okay, great, Doug. Yeah, thank you for your question. Who wants to jump in?
I guess I would just encourage that discussion. Absolutely a great thing to talk about. And I think, the nonprofit sector looks a lot at volunteers, because we need that expertise, that experience that's coming, either returning to Maine or moving back to Maine in retirement years. We see quite a bit of that even here in Aroostook County. And also retiring out of the profession that they've had. I've also been hearing from employers that they're hiring older workers because they do have those skills that they need in the jobs that are available.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to the caller regarding that. I do know that it's kind of a broad topic on engaging the boomer population, but a few years ago, a couple of very forward-thinking individuals formed an alumni association for the Holton High School, and they collected all the names and everything of all the alumni, and they began a come back to the county type campaign, reaching out to all the graduates that had either moved away or older folks to encourage them to come back. So I'm not sure if that's what your caller is referring to, but there have been initiatives to really reach out and make people aware that they're very welcome to come back and engage in the community.
All right. Well, Doug, thanks so much for your call. On the line with us now, Cameron Creighton, an admissions counselor for both of Maine's Job Corps centers. Hi, Cameron. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Tell us about the work the Jobs Corps centers provide.
Well, Job Corps has been available in the state of Maine since the 1960s, and it's a federally funded program that provides free services for students 16 to 24. It offers vocational and academic trainings at no cost to the participants.
Where are your centers?
We have a Loring Limestone Center far up in the county, and then we have a center called Penobscot in Bangor as well, right on Union Street.
What kind of training are you providing?
Well, all of the centers out of the 126 in the nation offer different selections of trainings. But at Penobscot, we have trainings such as CNA and CMA trainings. We have welding, carpentry, and facilities maintenance, and as well as culinary. And then up in Limestone, we have trades such as stone masonry, automotive, and CDL heavy truck driving. We also have painting, also culinary, CNA, and CMO.
And I understand your two main Job Corps centers are two of the highest ranked in the nation?
That's correct, number two and number four, actually.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for calling into the show today. Cameron Creighton, an admissions counselor for both of Maine's Job Corps centers. Cameron, I invite you to post information about those on the Maine Calling Facebook page. And we are going to take a quick break, but before that, a word about tomorrow's program. Join host Keith Shortall for a conversation about the role of cooperatives in the Maine economy. Email your questions or comments to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet us or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do CEI, helping grow good jobs and sustainable enterprises with financing and business advising services. CEIMaine.org. Carey Medical Center, committed to delivering the highest quality healthcare in a compassionate and nurturing environment in Aroostook County. CareyMedicalCenter.org. And the Maine Community Foundation, pleased to support Maine Calling, a forum for addressing issues affecting Maine people and the world.
Hi there, I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of Hidden Brain. Here's a question. What does it mean to be human?
I just did something extreme.
It's kind of embarrassing. Do we have to talk about that?
Can
we
talk Most about importantly, something? I think you need to be human.
Each week, through science and storytelling, we'll help you understand your friends, your family, and even yourself. Join us.
Join us for the Hidden Brain Sunday mornings at 11 on Maine Public Radio. Stay with us at 2 o'clock this afternoon following Maine Calling for a special BBC documentary called Life After Life. The BBC profiles teenage prisoners in the United States who are expecting to spend their lives behind bars and how they deal with the prospect of freedom in a world they've never experienced as adults. That's at 2 o'clock this afternoon after Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We are broadcasting live from the Holton High School Auditorium. Today on the program, Economic Development in Rural Maine. Joining me today, Chris Anderson, who is the president of the F.A. Peabody Company, which is based in Holton. He is also president of Aroostook Partnership. Brett Richardson is associate director of the Sustainable Food and Agriculture Programs with CEI, and Kristen Wells is former executive director of the Aroostook Aspirations Initiative. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. We have some questions from here in the audience. Come on up and tell us your name.
Of Adult and Community Education here, right in Holton. I know in the audience is Ms. Smith, who's the former director here. First, a comment. I think Aroostook County is in a great position with the adult ed organization. I'm glad Kristen was talking about that, because we also offer a lot with development and workforce and working with work skills, besides finishing high school, which everybody thinks is that's all we do. But we also do the CNA training, working with our partners for healthcare. So I think the big thing is to make sure that everybody in Aroostook County realizes, and the partners, that we are a partner, and we are a partner under the workforce boards that are here, which leads into the big question is, the concern we have as adult ed and workforce boards is the fact that we have a government that is turning away $9 million in workforce money that could go to the career centers, that could go to ACAP here, that could go to our partners to train more people with our programs. So there's a lot more out there that, there's some concerns of how we're handling this as a state, and the availability of those funds can't be turned away. And I didn't know if as many people were aware of what is happening, but that fills those workforce needs for rural settings. And I think we could look to adult education to fill a lot of other needs. And I think a lot of you said it, partnership. That's a big piece.
Well, thanks for stepping up to the mic. Thoughts?
I'm not familiar with what he's referring to, but I know that we've made some great efforts at recognizing that there's folks that aren't in the workforce that potentially could be in the workforce. So, we've got a committee set up for legislative engagement and trying to bring those that are not currently in the workforce back into it.
Okay, we have Daryl on Facebook saying, could you speak to the problems created by the winter migration on those who have businesses in the area? An example would be the decrease in doctor visits, grocery stores, convenience stores, mechanic shops, and the like that rely on a steady population. A large group of our population leaves the area of Aroostook for the south, taking their money and service needs with them, creating employment challenges for business and manpower and profit. You're the business owner, Chris.
Wow. I can't say that I've directly felt the impact of a great flight of folks in the winter months, but I can say that we feel a positive effect for the summer folks that come from far away to occupy our lakes and enjoy the summer months here in Maine.
Okay, and Kristen's nodding. I have another question from the audience here. Go ahead. Tell us your first name and
my
quick
name
question.
My name is Carl, and I'm one of those boomers semi-retiring up here. And I want to ask a question first and then say something, and then you'll give me the answer. Perhaps it's better to talk to maybe is there a county manager. Is there a long-term plan for this county first? But the comment is, I grew up in a small dairy town in rural New York, which was destroyed by the growth you describe. I mean, between poverty and crime, it's lost its rural character. I've lived in Dade County, Florida. There was once 28 separate townships separated by swamps and orange groves that are now one merging community, slums backing up to nice areas. Now, the one thing that made the town develop was interstates. So progress involves quicker transportation and quicker communication. So you have interstates or superhighways develop. At the same time, this area has a wonderful airport. You need to access and think of ways to use that airport. But the problem with the airport is once you develop it, property values go up 2.5 times. Anyway, is there a big master plan? Because I'm concerned about the long-term growth. And if you get it, you'll lose the rural character that everybody loves in the first place.
Part of a big debate in a lot of places, maintaining the character of an area and still encouraging economic development. Brad, I'm going to pull you in for this one. Any thoughts?
I think it's a great point and a great consideration. I think I'll seek to turn it on its head a little bit and say I think one of the bigger challenges now is access to markets. There's a lot of great products and services in this part of the state, and access to markets and being cost competitive is very, very important. So it's a good consideration, but I think that there's some progressive moves to be made before we worry too much about that.
And Kristen, as somebody who grew up here, is this a concern of yours that we'll grow too much?
No, I think we have a lot of growth before we would grow too much. So I would say no. And I also think that our, I look to the younger generation too. I think it's up to them to maintain our rural integrity or what we consider really valuable in our rural communities. And I see a lot of preservation of quality of life. So I don't have a real concern, you know, at least in my view of what's happening in Aroostook County, that we'll lose that. Not yet, anyway.
We have an email from Judith. I'm sorry, I'm getting very tired of hearing about the aging of Maine being a problem. I grew up here, graduated, earned 2 master's degrees, raised a family, and now that I'm reaching retirement age and my state sees me as a problem, I would like it much more if the aging of Maine was looked at as an asset, opportunity to tap into all our experiences and knowledge to help the young people that we need to return to Maine remember what's good about our state and why we remained here our entire lives. Is that possible?
You know, I would love to be able to pair every young person with an experienced older person. I don't think we have the same family units like we think we do. So I think every young person needs a, you know, grandparent or a mentor that's older and more experienced that can really share so much more. And I think that should be something that we really provide and offer within our communities.
Go ahead. Tell us your first name and what your question is, please.
It's Tim, and I have 2 questions. One is, you know, the Portland MSA is 52% of the Maine economy. And some people say that, you know, we've got a northern Maine and a southern Maine. But there's a lot of synergy that can happen between southern Maine and northern Maine where it really can be complementary. It should be complementary. And I was wondering what your views are on that. And my second question is, how do you want the state to be more, the state government to be more involved, and how can they, what can they do to be more helpful in driving the economy in Aroostook County?
Those are some good questions. The two main issue has been around since I've been around, I think, in Maine. I think one of the biggest things we could do is create a sense of awareness, Tim, of what it's like to live up here culturally and what the advantages and assets are to our southern brethren. There's probably lots of folks in Maine that probably have never been north of Augusta. And I think from a state legislative process, it's that disconnect between the awareness of what it's like up here and the economy up here and the decisions that get made, from what I've seen, is that disconnect. And if we can somehow bridge that through more legislative engagement or somehow create an awareness of what our needs are, they are different, even though we're one Maine, it would really help.
And Brett, you were talking about this a little bit, looking at, for example, the grain economy. Maine has, especially southern Maine, but the entire state has a booming craft beer industry and a big opportunity for Aroostook County grain to supply that. Are there other opportunities that are similar?
I think you might be able to look at southern Maine as a gateway to Boston or New York City in terms of access to markets. Aroostook obviously has a tremendous land base and tremendous agricultural tradition, and a lot of forward thinkers in that, linking urban areas where there's big markets with the economy here in Aroostook can only strengthen it.
We'll go to Randy, who's calling from, let's see if I can make this work here, from Fort Kent. Hi, Randy. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Well, thanks for coming up to the county. I'm calling because, and this might be more of a St. John Valley issue, I'm having trouble finding work. And I'm a college grad, and I've been up here 10 years, but it seems like most jobs go to the extended family members of whoever's doing the hiring. So I think keeping kids coming back and, you know, engaging more is good, but I think something needs to be happening on a more basic level of recruitment, and maybe businesses need to be better trained on how to recruit rather than just going with the old methods.
Thoughts?
I want to know more about what he's looking for. I'm thinking, how can we help connect?
Yeah, Kristen's wheels are turning already, Randy, so maybe what you need to do is call Kristen Wells after the program. So good luck to you, and you know, maybe some food for thought for anybody listening who's in a position to hire, about thinking about hiring differently.
And I would add too that hiring has changed, and I think with the decline of population, you know, in past years, there's been more anxiety in hiring the right people, hiring someone who is a good fit for the company. And as change, you know, as companies have changed, they've also struggled more to find the right fit. So I would be more aggressive as you're looking for a job. Get that face-to-face time with the employer that you'd like to work for and have real honest conversations about what jobs are that are available. So I just encourage anyone who's looking for a job to introduce yourself and certainly apply as much as possible.
Randy, thank you so much for your call, and good luck to you. We'll go to Zizi from Norway, Maine. Hi, Zizi. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you? I'm calling. I'm bringing Western Maine into the conversation. I'm calling from CB, and what we do up here is we look at all of the capital available in a community: natural, material, experiential, social, cultural, intellectual, spiritual, and lastly, financial. And we're looking at all the strengths and weaknesses that we have as a community here, and especially the weaknesses. And the one that I keep thinking about is the material and the intellectual. We could be creating so many cottage industries here because we have the intellectual riches of all of our old timers that have a wealth of information on how to build stuff, do stuff, grow stuff. And I want to say that that's a place where we really need to connect, you know, intellect to jobs. and create those here, not expecting them to come from what we have right now. I also want to say that I want the government, the legislature, to look more at nonprofits as social profits and really look at what social profits bring to the arena and how to support the social profits. And I look at the retirees and I'm like, calling all retirees, please come and help. We have so many change makers in rural communities that want to build a more beautiful and resilient world, but we don't have the capacity. And we need people that have the time and energy to put in to help us make the change that needs to happen. So my question, and Angus King was just on, but how can we shift the idea of nonprofits to social profits and have social profits really be supported in every way by the community so that we can make the change happen that needs to be made?
Well, Cece, thank you so much for calling and bringing Western Maine into this. I'm going to go back to the first part of your question, and you called them cottage industries. Brett, this is what you do. This is you encourage entrepreneurship. You try to help people think differently about their future, yes?
That is true, and the opportunity to add value to natural resource commodities and materials is a great opportunity for Maine, and we're we wouldn't be at the point where we are with craft brew and with bread if folks hadn't already been doing that. So that's one example of adding value in local rural economies to get premium prices that allow those folks to have a livelihood in the rural landscape.
All right, we have just a few seconds left. Kristen, Chris, anybody have some final thoughts?
Many. This is a conversation that could go on forever, I think, and it does. And you know, for a lot of us, it's something we talk about all the time. And I just encourage everyone to really engage and to think about what we should be doing as a county, as a state, to really support our rural economy.
Well, thank you all three for being here today. And Kristen, I want to thank you for all the help you've given us all week. Kristen Wells has been really instrumental in helping us plan this road trip to Aroostook County, which has been such a delightful experience for all of us here on the Maine Calling team. So thank you to Kristen Wells, former executive director of the Aroostook Aspirations Initiative, Chris Anderson, president of the FA Peabody Company and president of the Aroostook Partnership is here with us as well, Brett Richardson, associate director of the Sustainable Food and Agriculture Programs with Coastal Enterprise Incorporated. Terrific guests. Thank you. Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. Dan Plummer took your calls. We had additional help from John Bradford, Nick Godfrey, and John Keimel. We'd also like to thank Kristen again for all of her help. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our audio archives at MaineCalling.net. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. And thank you again to Cindy Hahn for all of her work this week. We couldn't have done it without you. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Special thanks to our Maine Calling on the Road Aroostook sponsors, CEI, Cary Medical Center, and MMG Insurance.